Title of the message, How to Be the Boss God Wants Me to Be. How to Be the Boss God Wants Me to Be. And this is found in Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I am also in bonds, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your guidance and direction in our lives. I pray you'd help each and every one of us, Lord, to be better as Christians. Help us to learn from where we have failed throughout this week and forgive us where we have failed in our following of you. I pray for each and every believer that is here this evening. Use the word of God to strengthen their lives, to make them more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray as well, if there is someone in our midst that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they do not know the joy of sins forgiven, I pray that tonight would be the night they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Lord, we just pray in everything you receive, the honor and glory that you deserve, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have learned already a couple weeks ago, we know that God's people ought to be the best worker that they can be, so that the doctrine of God is not blasphemed. We ought to be, if we're working for someone who is known for being a good worker, someone who does the best of their ability, someone who puts God first in all things. And it shows in your character and how you operate and how you do things as an employee. But God also expects employers or bosses to be the best that they can be. God gives us directions not only how to be a good worker, but how to be a good supervisor or a leader, someone who's in charge of people. The best way to put the silence ungodly people is to be the person that God intends you to be. We want to be distinctly different. We want to be like Christ in our operations, no matter what it may be as Christians. We ought to be the one who goes the extra mile and does more than required. It's easy to just do our basic duties, but as Christians, we want to go a little bit farther. We want to be a profitable servant. We know in the Bible it speaks about profitable versus unprofitable. A profitable servant is someone who goes beyond what is required, that takes it up a notch. However, this evening, as we look at being a boss or a master, we have to remember whether you are the worker or the boss, you both must give an account to God. And God holds everyone accountable for their actions. It doesn't matter where you're at, whether you're the king supreme, whether you're the lowly servant. God looks at all and he knows all. God knows your heart. God knows what you're up to, and God knows why you do what you do. And as we look at being a master or boss that God wants us to be, our actions ought to represent the one we serve and not ourselves. And that's what makes a person the worker they need to be or the boss they need to be. They represent the one they serve and not themselves. We want to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. Today we will look at the boss's responsibility to give that which is just and to know that you have a master. First, let's look at, if you're taking notes this evening, give that which is just. Give that which is just. And that, letter A, if you're taking notes, what is not unjust? What is not unjust? In our society, you'll hear about people saying, oh, this isn't right, or I don't deserve such and such, or I deserve such and such. But we always ought to look at things through the lens of the Bible. What does God say is just and what is unjust? How does God view things? It's easy for Christians to begin to blur the truth of the Word of God with the wisdom of this world. There are some things, especially when it comes to money, where people begin to look at things in an improper way. But we as God's children ought to look at it through the lens of Scripture. What is just and what is unjust? And first we're going to look at what is not unjust. What a man has worked for is what he should be given. Of course, in Bible times, a worker and a master would make an arrangement for the wages that was worked and agree to it, and it was usually a daily thing. It's not like we think of now, we have a job where we go to work, and it's probably, if Lord willing, we'll be working there the rest of our lives, or seasonal, whatever it is. But in Bible times, a lot of people would get their work or labor simply by going to the place where the employers were, and they'd work for a day's wages. It would be maybe a different employer every day. I don't know. But it was a lot different than when we think of at this moment in time. You had someone you worked for, and you agreed to your daily wages. It's not just unjust for you. It is not unjust, as we look at this, to be paid less than your coworker or someone who does the same job that you get paid for. And that is where we look in our society, people viewing what is unjust and unjust. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 20, and verse number 1. And I, speaking on this, I just want you to know, as a boss, to not let your heart be discouraged because people speak of you in an evil way or say you're not fair or you're not dealing with me in a just way because of how you treat so-and-so. People have to understand what is fair is what you have determined between yourself and your employer. It's not determined by other people. It's not determined by other workers. It's not determined by what others think. It's determined by the employee and the employer. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 20, beginning of verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered and said unto them, and said, Friend, do I do thee no wrong? Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I'll give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do that what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." I use this passage of scripture just give you an example of what is just versus unjust. In our society, people tend to murmur and complain because they find out someone who did the same job as them gets paid a little bit more. And if you're an employer, you shouldn't let that discourage your heart. You should not let that bother you. In the sense, if you have made an agreement with your employee and they're upset because they found out that so-and-so who's worked there for 2 years is getting paid the same as you has worked there for 5 years, that's really, in a sense of it, it's none of your business to a certain extent. I guess that's the best way to put it. God expects us to deal justly. And when we make an agreement, we should be bound according to our word. If you go to work for your boss and you agree for the payment that is given, don't be discouraged, don't be disheartened, don't become that person who says, you know what, I don't like how so-and-so gets paid the same as me, even though I've been here X amount of years. That is not how we are to deal with things as Christians. We must never get caught up in envy, which calls us to call our masters evil because that we're more worth more than what we've asked for. That's what it is. It's covetousness. It's envy. It's being upset because so-and-so got something that you thought they don't deserve. But you have to remember when it comes to your employer or the employee you work for or as an employer that when you have made an agreement with your employee, then that agreement is good. Don't let society's values determine your values as a Christian boss. Deal with people in the right way. And of course, if you're that person who doesn't like how things are operating or how things are going because you were there all day and the other person was there an hour and you got paid the same, then don't continue working for that person. There's no need to call the person evil because of how you feel slighted because you didn't get treated the same way. Don't murmur and complain and do things according to the way it ought to be done. The Bible says in Philippians 2:12 and following, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but not now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that may be blameless and harmless as sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, going forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." And the simple biblical truth here is if you're the employee that doesn't like what the employer is doing, the Bible says do all things without murmurings and disputings. It's God sees and God knows how you're being treated. And God is the one who rewards accordingly. And we'll learn about that as we go through this message, that God knows when your master is not being fair. But as Christians, and if we are in that point of leadership, we have to also understand that sometimes people call us unfair even when we're being fair. And that's what I'm dealing with in this passage of Scripture. When it comes to these types of things, you just have to not let it bother you when it comes to how people respond to certain situations. Stick with your agreement, and if it was right, it will be right. It doesn't change because of people's view on it. If you've made an agreement with someone and they're working for you, then you don't have to worry about it being evil in the sight of God if people look at it as being evil. The sense and the aspect here is when you have made a term of agreement or a contract and you've worked out something with your employee as a boss, and later on they look at it as being an evil thing, and that isn't how God sees it. God looks at things and he knows the terms of the agreement in which you have made. The Bible says again, I'll mention it, Matthew chapter 20, verse 13 and following. "But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way, and I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good?" The terms of a contract, whether verbal or written, are always good to have so the person can reflect upon what you guys have agreed to if you're a boss in this world. And I say all these things and putting it in perspective as how to be a godly boss is simply that you have to know what the terms of the agreement were. And it's good for you guys as an employer to have that contract or words of writing to help people remember. People tend to forget what you've agreed to. And also, as I say all these things, and I'm trying to put this in a biblical context, don't forget your responsibility as an employer to follow the laws of the land. That goes without saying. But I'm not focusing so much on that this evening as I am being the employer that God wants you to be that boss, and to take it up a notch and be what God intended you to be. I've looked at what is not unjust. If you're taking notes, what is unjust? What is unjust as an employer? What is it to be unjust as a boss in dealing with your employees? It is unjust to hold what you've agreed to pay when it's time to pay it. You find multiple scriptures in the Old Testament dealing with this issue, the between the employee and an employer. What is unjust? The Bible says the following in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 and following. Turn there if you would. Leviticus chapter 19 and verses 9 and following. Leviticus chapter 19 and verses 9 and following. The Bible says the following, beginning at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shall they gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him the wages of him that is hired. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord. And what is unjust as in a boss or a master is not to pay your employee what they're owed. The Bible says you have stolen what is now his because of your agreement. And in order for you to be the boss that God wants you to be, when it comes payment day, pay your employees. You don't want to be known as that person or the person that is in charge of someone. When it comes time to be paid, you just say, I don't have the money for you. Or whatever reason, you're not the leader that God wants you to be in that aspect. Such actions are not acceptable for bosses, especially those who have believing bosses. And I know we have laws in the land to protect us from such things, but we have to be reminded of these things because the scriptures speak of these things. We need to be the person who follows through on their agreements. We need to be the person that is known to keep their word as leaders in our society. And that is what a boss is. They're being a leader amongst people. They're in charge of people. For such actions that God does deal with. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 25, 35 and following, and that thy brother be waxen poor and fall into decay with thee, and thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee, take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt to give to the land of Canaan and to be your God. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as a hired servant and a sojourner. He shall be with thee, and so serve thee until the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his father shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shall fear thy God. And really what the Bible is dealing with these issues is saying, treat your employees justly. Treat them as God treats you. You want to be a godly leader. You want to be that godly supervisor. You want to be that godly master. You deal with people as God deals with you. And you see that all through the relationships in the Bible. You see, God expects us not to, when we're put in a position that is higher, to begin to treat people that are low in positions as if they're inferior to us. The Bible says you have to remember it is who you serve. And in this context, the Bible says thou shalt not rule over them with rigor. This is dealing with the boss that they're just to the letter of the law. If you don't do everything according to the way it ought to be done, then he's going to let you have it. The Bible says you should not be that type of leader. You need to be a type of leader that rules as God rules in your life. How many times it is that we work for God and we do the service of God when we don't fulfill our duties and God shows us mercy? How many times in our lives when we're serving the Lord and we're following our master in heaven and he shows us grace? And this is what God's word is teaching us as masters and leaders, is to be that person that lives in that way and not to deal unjustly. When you begin to treat your employees wrong and treat them with rigor, or you're just that taskmaster, when you don't fulfill your word and you make a promise, simple promises like, if you do this, I'm going to give you a bonus, and you don't fulfill your word, The Bible says that God sees and hears that, and he knows that. And he deals with bosses who do those type of things. And we have to remember as Christians that we have a master in heaven. And when we read about this, we need to treat our employees appropriately and justly. We do this out of a fear for God, understanding who it is we serve. The Bible says in Job chapter 31 and 13 the following. Turn there if you would. The book of Job chapter 31 and verses 13 and following. Job chapter 31 and verses 13 and following. The Bible says Job 31 verse 13. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or of my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up and when he visiteth? What shall I answer him? Did not he that made me in the womb make him also? Make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless have not eaten thereof. Just reading through these passages of Scripture, it is unjust not to hear the concern of your worker in the sense that when you have promised a promise to them and they come to you and ask you why you're not fulfilling your promises and you do nothing about it, the Bible says God deals with that. God sees and God expects you as a boss to do better. And remember that you have a master in heaven, which brings me to my second point, my last point this evening. Know that you have a master, or know that you as bosses, you have a boss. Whether the world wants to accept it or not, whether people believe in it or not, God sees how other people are, how people deal with people. And God intervenes accordingly as he sees fit. I'm not of the opinion or view that God doesn't do anything on this world anymore, that he's left things alone. I believe that God sees, God knows, God sees the interactions between people, and what you reap is what you sow. If you're not doing what you ought to do, then God will deal with you accordingly. When and where, I don't know, but God knows. And we have to consider the end. The Bible speaks so many times of people viewing other people in this world who deal unjustly and they're profiting. And sometimes people begin to think, does God know? Does God see? You have to consider the end of such a lifestyle, that God does see and that God does deal with it. But as we go through this passage, knowing that you have a master, turn your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, and verse 8 and following. The reason why we ought to be a better boss is because of our master in heaven, because we also have a boss. And turn your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, and chapter 5, and verse number 8. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 8, "If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment, and justice in the prophets, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving beholding of them with their eyes?" In this passage of Scripture, Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "If thou seest the oppression of the poor, the violent perverting of judgment, and justice in the prophet," it says, "marvel not at the matter." And the reason being, the Bible says, "For he that is higher than the highest regardeth." God is in control. Don't you worry about those things. God isn't going to let it slip by. And we have to remember that as bosses or leaders, that God sees what we're doing. And he doesn't just let things slip by. And he expects us to be better. God sees the poor or the worker that is working for you. Generally, the one who is working has less wealth than the one he's working for. If you look in society, obviously the one who's employing people generally has more money than the person who's being employed. But God sees the poor and the worker and the work they're doing for you. When you as a master or boss mistreat one that is working for you, God sees from heaven and will deal with the situation. No matter how high you are in authority, remember there's none higher than God. No matter where you're at in life, remember there's none higher than God. And God sees and God deals with us accordingly. The Bible says we're to deal justly, or God will deal with us. The Bible says the following. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, verses 10 and following. When thou dost lend thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. And if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment and bless thee, and it shall be righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are within the land within thy gates. At his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. The Lord hears the cries of the workers or those who are serving. And when you as a leader or a boss are dealing unjustly with those who are working for you, God does hear the cries. And God will deal with it. In this context, obviously dealing with those who are giving a pledge of whatever reason to hold on to till the end of the day. God says to give it back before the sun sets. It's probably his coat or whatever it was as a pledge, in order to keep him warm throughout the night so he could sleep well. God says, give it back before the sun sets. And when leaders or bosses who had hired servants were having those working for them, didn't do such things, God intervened. He heard. He knew what was going on, and he dealt with it accordingly. God expects us to deal with our workers as he deals with us. God expects you to keep your word. Turn your Bibles to the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 3 and verses 5 and following. Malachi chapter 3 and verses 5 and following. Malachi chapter 3 and verses 5 and following. The Bible says, "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling for his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." The Lord will judge those who mistreat the hireling, or those who deserve the wages. As we go through this passage of scripture this evening, how to be the boss that God wants you to be, really what it comes down to is dealing with people as God intends you to deal with them. Don't forget, just because you're in charge, to love them, to treat them right, to show them mercy, to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Our positions that God gives us are not to be mistreated. If anything, they're to be used in a better way. It gives us more opportunity to show the love of Christ. We have more influence in sharing the love of Christ by how we treat the people that are under us. We are to do justly and know who it is that we serve. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and God expects you, if you're a boss or you're a master, wherever you're working, to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We do justly by fulfilling our words as employers, and we fulfill our word because we serve the Lord of hosts. We want people to trust us. We want people to know that we are being the best boss that we can be, because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 58, and I'll read verses 1 and following. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 and following. The Bible says, Isaiah 58, 1 and following, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the hosts of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say thee, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread a sackcloth and the ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the press go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall bring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. Shall thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity? And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in the drought, and make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor seeking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to rise upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What God expects for each and every one of us as leaders or as a boss is not to give people heavy burdens and not to be that person who oppresses people, but the person who shows the love of Christ in our lives. You want to be the boss that God wants you to be? You want to be the leader that God intends you to be? Be a loving leader. Be a person that shows his love through his actions and how you treat people and how you interact with them. Don't be the person who says, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, you have to listen to me. Yeah, I'm your boss. You do as I tell you. Look at people as God intends you to look at them, with love and concern and compassion, and then interact with them accordingly. Be a good master. Choose the fast that God has chosen. Be a blessing to others by doing justly as God has told you to do in his word. Masters, remember. Bosses, remember, you also have a boss in heaven. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your love and your leadership in our lives. And I pray you'd help each and every one of us to remember who it is that we serve. And Lord, as we serve you, may we reflect how you treat us and how we treat others. Lord, there's so many ways that we can be blessings, so many ways that we need to learn to be more like you. And I pray you'd help each and every one of us, Lord, to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Lord, we just pray for everything you get the honor and glory you deserve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.